Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you brought the people here to hear the words that you have given us to say. Lord, that every song that was spoken, every word that is said today is a seed. And in that seed is life. And so, Lord, I ask that you spread these seeds far and wide and that they take root and that they grow and they bear much fruit. And so, Lord, I ask you to calm my nerves. I ask you to prepare the ground. And, Lord, we thank you for the awesome responsibility and privilege it is to come before you today and to lift up your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. This is kind of the first time that Pastor Joe hasn't said, hey, I want you to talk about this. And so I've done pastor appreciation. I've done testimonies when Pastor Joe has asked me to talk about something that goes along with what he's saying. God gave me that vision, and Pastor Joe asked me to share that. So this is the first time that I have ever been given a cold place to stand. No direction, no here. Will you do this? And the day that he asked me, which was about a month ago, I'm like, very calmly, sure, I can do that. And then Bethany started cracking up laughing. Because every time Pastor Joe asks me, I very calmly say, sure, I can do that. And then I get out in the car and I totally freak out. I'm just like, ah! And so this time she just started laughing. And Pastor Joe asked her why. And she said, Mom's going to go to the car and freak out. And so Pastor Joe said, take heart. It's June. And a lot of people will be on vacation. So there won't be as many. So I am taking heart. It's not quite as crowded. But I have every confidence that the ones that God wanted to hear this message are here today. The other thing that you'll note is I get all of these texts from Pastor Joe as he's leaving on vacation, and he says, at the end of all this, don't forget that, pertaining to the bulletins and different things like that that I do around here. And then at the end of it, he says, I usually try to close at 12:15, because last time I spoke, I talked a very long time, and so I very tongue-in-cheek sent him back one and said, I will definitely try to close it by 12:15, and he sent me back one saying, do what the Lord leads. So we have a pastor, God has given us a pastor that is a great leader. He is a great witness to us all, and we are very privileged to have him. And so to be asked to speak is an awesome responsibility, not just from Pastor Joe, but from the Lord. So with all that saying, I guess I'll get to it. There have been some words lately from the beginning of the year until now that have just absolutely haunted me. They're everywhere. They're in my devotions, every book I've read, the sermons I listen to, Pastor Joe's and those that I listen to on Facebook and internet and all this. They're in the songs that I hear. They're everywhere. And I keep asking God, what is it with these words? I have a prayer book that I got, and it's got a weekly prayer focus and a daily prayer focus. And every month, there's this blank page where you can just write whatever you want. And every month, these same words are over and over again. Intentional, resolved, deliberate, determined, decided, purposeful, priority, choice, and choose. And we all know what those words mean. They're very common words. We use them all the time. But Trish will tell you, she's in nursery, so she's missing apparently, but she will tell you, I'm a words girl, so I have to look up meanings of the words. Intentional means a firm resolve to accomplish a thing. It's said that the word intention is a weaker form of this word. The very firmest form of this word is to say, it is my intent. It is my intent. Resolved means a thing that is settled or a found solution. The root word of purposeful is purpose, and it is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. Purposeful literally means to be full of purpose. The word decided means unquestionable, definite, a thing that has been resolved in the legal sense. And priority is a thing that is regarded as more important than another or that which takes precedence over another. And so with these words, I've been like, okay, Lord, what on earth are you trying to tell me? Meantime, the ladies have been doing a Bible study, or it's actually a book study at my house on Wednesdays, and it's this book. Pastor Joe recommended it, and we started it in January, and we're only about halfway through it. After God's Own Heart by Mike Bickle. And several of the quotes that I'm going to give today actually all come from this book, and I would encourage anybody that is looking for something, this is a really good book to set your heart, that causes you to resolve a lot of the things that makes you go, huh. One of the things in this book, he says, today the call of God to the church is to dismiss ourselves from chasing hither and thither and to cultivate a heart of unwavering devotion. He wants us to love him first, foremost, and with all of our hearts. He wants us to become people of one thing. Pastor Joe just mentioned that a few weeks ago in his sermon. God wants us to become people of one thing. He said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. So I keep thinking about this, and it's like, you know, across the church, and I'm not saying specific individuals, but there is a kind of a move or a spirit that goes across the church that we become people who desire Jesus as a Savior, and we accept him as such. Boy, we want him to save us. We want him to rescue us. But we do not desire or necessarily accept him as Lord. We've forgotten where we've come from. We've forgotten that we were slaves to the prince of this world. And we are a lot like the children of Israel, which always tried to return to their slave ship. They're traveling along for 40 years, and always they're going back to the same thing. They're trying to go back to the slave ship. But God desires something very different from us. He desires that we love him with an unwavering devotion. There's a scripture that is in the Old Testament, and to be quite honest, it always made me go, huh? You know, it was not one of those things that I really understood. And it's mentioned in more than one place, but I'm going to quote it from Deuteronomy. It's talking about the servant, the slave who loves his master so much that then he becomes a slave for life. Deuteronomy 15:16 says, but if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you, because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into a door, and he will become your servant for life. Do the same for your female servants. And to be quite honest, I'm like, why would you do that? I mean, here in the West especially, the idea of slaveship being a slave is just repugnant to us. We can't. And the idea that you would want to stay a slave, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever to us. It's not something that we even can comprehend. But they use this as an example of loving the Lord. And it's like, sometimes our Western mind does not always sit up with that. So I researched this, and I found something really kind of interesting. The ear, the reason they put the hole through the ear is to remind them to always be attentive to the voice of the master and to obey the voice of the master. That's why they put it in the ear. The other thing I found interesting, why a door? Why not a wall? Why not, We go to Walmart, you get your ear pierced right there in the middle of the hallway, the thing. There's nothing there. Why a door? And so what I found out from the door is that there's two purposes. You cross from one place to another. I am a slave of the world. I decide to choose to follow God, and I am a servant, a slave to the Lord. So there's a crossing over. The second part, which I thought was totally cool, it is the fact that it's to remind us that blood was shed to purchase our lives. Don't get a whole lot of blood when you poke a hole in your ear, but there is blood there. And it was to remind the children of Israel of the Passover. It was a picture of the Passover. They put the blood on the doorway, and the death angel crossed them over. It was the covenant that he did with the Israelites in Egypt. And for us today, it's the picture of the cross. Mike Bickle says that he is cultivating hearts that are unreserved, and he is promoting a single-minded devotion that the world is frightened of. We were talking on Wednesday about persecution, and I was listening to CBN, and Christians are the most persecuted group across the world, worldwide. We are the most persecuted group. Satan is frightened of us when we become single-minded, when we become a single devotion person whose heart is always chasing after him. When we step into the destiny and the purposes for which we were created and called, and that's to serve the Lord and love the Lord with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls, every part of us completely given over to him, it causes Satan to shake in his shoes. Because there's nothing that we cannot accomplish if he is our sole purpose. Mike Bickle in the book says, we will not accidentally lay hold of the highest things that God has called us to. We must press into them, knowing that the devil will press back. In Philippians chapter 3, and this is a really long bit of scripture, verses 7 through 14, but Paul is speaking, and he's talking about, okay, he went through all the religious training, and he gained all of this knowledge and everything, and he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Savior, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And here's where it gets kind of tricky. This is the part we kind of shy away from. I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I want participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There, if you go back to the words, there is something that is happening with me personally, and I think with a lot of people who are called to Christ, that there is a new determination, a new I'm struggling to say it, but there is a new commitment, a new standing firm, a shift in our priorities from what it was before. I find it interesting, and I don't know how many of y'all pay really close attention to things, but I keep these every week. I keep them. And I have 3-ring binders. And I keep them, and I make notes on them, and I re-listen. I have the CDs, and I re-listen to them, and I have all the messages. Even if I'm not here for some reason or other, if I'm sick or something, I make sure that I have them and I listen to them. And I find it really, really interesting. In the last 6 months, there's a thread that runs through. Everything Pastor Joe has said, everything that the guest speakers have said, God is speaking to us. And I don't know if you guys picked this up, and sometimes it takes us just a matter to sit down. So I sat down and I wrote basically just the titles down. Hopefully you guys, as I speak these titles, you'll remember some of the things that it said. But starting in November of last year, we had a guest speaker, Christopher Hilton. He was here not too long ago. And he spoke a message, and in that message he said, it's time to act. Sean Strong came the next month, and he said, it's time to leave contentment and to become a contender. At the end of December is when God gave that vision, and he's telling us the church, it's time for the church to rise. There are things happening. There's so much to go going on. Wake up, look what's going on. The ground is shaking. Become aware of what's going on and let this church arise. The very first message Pastor Joe gave in January was, where am I going? And he was talking about our specific calling or our destiny. What is God? What is your purpose? Back to that word again. There's a purpose for which you were created. And that was the very first message that he gave this year. On January 13th, he talked to us about a bridegroom fast. And in the bridegroom fast, it is a different kind of fast. It's not necessarily one for repentance, but it's one for direction. Lord, where are we going? What are we doing? It's committing ourselves to that bridegroom. It's coming to the point where we are married to the Lord. January 20th, what is sure about our future? Again, it is our purpose. What's sure? The Lord is coming back, so we must be about it. January 27th, the invasion continues. Pastor Joe again. We must live as children of the kingdom. February 3rd, pick it up and strike with it. He's talking about mantles that we put on. Mantles that are our authority. He's talking about arrows that we shoot at the enemy. It's really interesting. Then John Bailey speaks, and John Bailey speaks to us about the lessons in the life of Elijah. And he's talking about how to deal with disappointments, things that bother us, there were so many lessons. Mary Glacier comes, and there were a lot of them. To the women, she said, you are chosen women of God. To this church, she said, embrace God's powerful presence. She was talking about fear and fantasy and faith. And all of these things, they go right along with it. The very next week, we had Teresa and Kevin Schneider come, and their message was, allow God to bring change. Yeah, catching a thread here. Then Pastor Joe did a series that seemed to go, okay, that's different. But he was talking about forgiveness. And as I'm looking at that, I'm like, Lord, that seems awful left field. But then the Lord said, you have to be able to learn to forgive and to repent and not hold these things. If you want to move forward in Him, if you want to take your destiny, if you want to fulfill what I have created to you to do, some of the things that you have to do is let go of those things that have hurt you in the past and to move forward. So forgiveness and repentance and all of that that goes along with it is required to do it. Then curiously, again, he talks about the Lamb of God. He's talking about the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb, the standing and exalted lamb. And again, it's a reminder that of our purpose. What are we doing? Where are we going? Who are we serving? We are serving a standing lamb, one who is full of authority, and we are serving the exalted lamb. He is our master. Then he starts the series, Overcoming the Darkness, and he gives us insights from the victory of the life of Jesus and the sources of our strength. It comes from the Word. It comes from prayer. It comes from you guys. Then Melissa Schmidt steps up. And what does she tell us? It's time to shake it up. We got to do things differently. It's time to shake it up. Christopher Hilton comes and he says, what side of the butt are you living on? Are you still making excuses or are you ready just to move forward? Are we going to whine or are we going to be resolved? Pastor Joe then talks about strategic warfare. And finally, last week, he was talking about exposing the enemy schemes. So here we are. And it's like, okay, Lord, what on earth am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to talk about? And then the Lord began to really speak to me. It's been 6 months since God gave us a vision, and he's been leading us step by step by the hand, going, things need to change. We are right this moment, right now, balanced on a precipice in this nation. God is on the move. I mean, if you haven't been paying attention, God is on the move. We can see that he's leading to a purpose when it comes to the abortion laws across this nation. State after state are enacting laws that prohibit and limit abortion. This state is one of them. But, and that's God. I mean, that is God. If you can't see that, it's just amazing, because it's amazing to see. I was speaking to my sister, and we were talking about this, and she's like, it's so contentious, and all she could see. And I said, but Melody, look what God has done. A few years ago, Roe versus Wade could not be touched. It was the law of the land, and there was no way, shape, or form that you could even begin to touch that law. And now we see state after state limiting that, all for the purpose of it's going to go to the Supreme Court and it's going to be challenged again. So what are we going to do about it? We, all of us, we must make sure that the enemy does not catch us unaware. Okay? We must be in prayer personally and corporately concerning the direction of this nation and what's happening in this nation. The elections are once again upon us. And it's like, oh, Lord, it didn't seem like the election ended from the last time. Every time you turn around, it's just like, but the elections are once again. And we have to choose what to do. Our president, Congress, those in governance should constantly be in our prayers. And as we seek the face of God, personally and corporately. And this is a little side note. This is my personal opinion. I believe it's a God opinion too, but this is one that I hold firmly. It must be a corporate priority. Okay? Not just a personal one. I can pray in my little prayer closet. You can pray in your little prayer closet. I know Sister Betty and Brother Curtis, they're praying together and separately in their little prayer closets, but it must be corporate. It must be. It took 120 people praying corporately for a period of time for that day of Pentecost to roll around. And if we want this nation to change, if we want what has begun, what we have begun to see, the shaking of the ground that was talked about in the vision. Mary Glacier spoke about it not too long. Alicia got up talking about the shaking. Melissa was talking about the shaking. We cannot do things the way that has always been done. We cannot look to, this is the way it was done 20 years ago, 5 years ago. This is the way that we've always done things. We need to look to the solutions that God has given us for this moment. And I'm not telling you how to pray or how to vote or anything like that. But the thing of it is you need to be on your knees and praying that the right man. Yes, that's right. And we need to join together. I was talking to the ladies, and I've mentioned it at Bible study. There is something happens when we are together corporately. Myself, I sit at kind of a low simmer. You know, I read my scriptures. I spend the time with the Lord, but I sit at a low kind of simmer. When I get together with the ladies on Wednesday and we begin talking about the Lord, what he's doing in our lives, the different things that he's doing, that simmer begins to boil up and it begins to roll up. And there's something happens. The scripture says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there. And so even if we're just having lunch and we're doing nothing more than, oh man, this is what the Lord is doing and this is what's happening in my life, something happens. When we gather together, there's more than two or three together. And the heavens shake when we gather. When Sean starts playing the music and the music starts going across here and the worship rises, Satan and hell begins trembling. Because we are speaking the name of God. And we are calling on the authority that God has given us. There was something in the message that I had, in the vision that I had kind of not thought about. And Pastor Joe brought it to my remembrance just a week or so ago. And that was in part of the vision. It talked about the bleachers and people from every tribe and every nation watching us. And Pastor Joe reminded me, and I believe he said it on a Wednesday night, but he's like, the world is watching. They're watching what's happening. Right now, Jamaica is debating on whether they should allow abortion. So they are closely watching what's happening here in the United States. All around the world, people are watching what's happening right here. And we have to make a decision. We have to choose what we will do in this hour. Will we challenge and engage the enemy as Elijah did? Or will we roll over and let him do whatever he wants and steal whatever he wishes from us, our children, and our grandchildren? Mike Bickle says in this book, in every hour of history, there are divine strategies and measures of grace that God chooses to release for that particular time. There is a fullness for our generation, for each generation, and our job is to press into the fullness of whatever God is offering his people in the season of history that we live. We should be like David, who served the purpose of his own generation. That comes from Acts chapter 13, verse 36. It's time for us to become resolute, resolved, determined, deliberate, decided, in order that we make purposeful choices so that we can choose the priorities that lead us to be about our Father's business. Y'all know the story of Jesus when he was just a boy. His parents had taken him to Jerusalem. And they leave and they get about a day or so away going, where's the boy? Where is he at? And so they turn around and they go look for him. And of course they find him in the temple and he's speaking with the leaders. And they say, and the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verses 48 through 49, it says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why is it you have sought me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? This is the call for us in this hour at this moment. It's time for us to be about our Father's business. We must step into the purpose that we have been created and placed into this time, at this hour, reaching for the fullness of God for this generation. We must be seeking to fulfill that which God has determined for his followers. Scriptures tells us these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well. In Matthew, it says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And Paul tells us to earnestly seek the greater gifts. We are at a moment. And there's a great divide. We can choose. We can choose to do everything exactly the way we have in the past. It's not going to keep us out of heaven. We'll go along. We love the Lord. But we will not be people of purpose and destiny that God has called us to. It's an interesting concept to think about. I see Rusty back there nodding, and you have no idea how encouraging it is. But Rusty, have you given thought to the fact that God placed you in this time, in this place, at this hour? You have a destiny to fulfill. He placed you in this city. And without Rusty, this city can't be won. And without you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, each of us have a part we have to play. Each of us have influences that none of the other have. And we could take this city and change it from a city that is known as a drug haven to one that where the lives of people are completely transformed. He did it in my life. I went to bed a smoker. I woke up and I was set free from tobacco. No more addiction. He can do that with the opioid crisis that we hear so much about. He can do that with meth. He can do that with alcohol. He can do that with every other kind of addiction, whether it be gambling or sexual addictions, whatever it is. In that moment, in that instance, he can set us free. But he can only do that if each of us step up and do what we're supposed to do. Had it not been for some of the ladies here who drug me from the back where I sat and go, I shall not be moved. And yet they loved me, and they're like Melissa was talking about. They loved me and they brought me forward. They introduced me to a Savior that I had never seen before, one that was loving as opposed to one who was ready to strike me with the next bolt of thunder. They taught me about Jesus. They discipled me. They mentored me. And that's what's needed to change this city. That's what's needed so we could take our children, and our children can mentor these little ones. These little bitty ones can be the ones that change their schools because we have taught them properly, because we have engaged them, because they see the excitement and the love of Jesus Christ in our lives, and it makes them want to do things differently. It is the power of God through Jesus Christ that will change our families, our community, and our nation. So we must become people of a single heart, a single mind, and a single purpose. I'm going to wrap this up here. But there is one last thing that there's a song that we learned back in, most of us learned in Sunday school. It's been going over and over and over in my mind. I have decided to follow Jesus. I looked that up because the Lord just kept bringing it back to me. Bringing it back to me. I have decided to follow Jesus. And so I looked up the thing, and it says, the lyrics are based on the last words of, forgive me, dude, Nak Singh, a Garo man, a tribe from India, who along with his family decided to follow Jesus in the middle of the 19th century through the efforts of an American Baptist minister, missionary. When the village chief called him to renounce his faith, this man said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And as a result of that, the village elders murdered his two children in front of him. They brought his wife up next, and they were threatening to kill her. And he said, "Though none join with me, still I will follow." And his wife was killed in front of him. And while he was executed, he sang, "Though the world behind me, the cross before me." We can no longer just go along with the flow. We can no longer be at ease in our spirits. Yes, we are saved, but we are here for a greater purpose than to be saved. We are here because we have a Lord, and that Lord is the one that determines everything for us. Back in history, if you wanted to get married, you had to ask the king of the castle whether you could even get married. So what, where you worked, what you did, everything was determined by the Lord. And that is what the Father is calling us to in these days, in this hour. The persecution that we were talking about on Wednesday night, it's going to increase. It's for those, there are some in the world, they're like this man. And they have to stand and say, "I have decided to follow Jesus, even if it means my death." They have to stay and say, "Even if you murder my children before my eyes, I have determined that I will follow Jesus." Right now, the Lord is asking us, and this is me too, and I'm with Paul. I have not attained it yet. And I'm in good company if Paul says he hasn't attained it yet. But I have not attained it yet. But there is a resolution that comes, that is setting in my heart. A resolution that says, I will serve the purpose for which God has called me in this city. Right now I'm in Lebanon, so that purpose is for Lebanon. I will pray for this city. I will do whatever is required of me to serve the purpose of Jesus Christ, of the kingdom in this city, at this hour, at this moment. I have decided. I am determined. I am resolute. And even though my knees may be knocking, I still must do and be about my Father's business. Sean, you want to come? I am asking today, and I will leave it to Sean or somebody, well, Lord, you have spoken to us. I ask that these words reverberate in the hearts and the minds of everybody here. Lord, I ask for a new determination, a new resolution to follow you and let nothing, not the way it's always been, nothing stop me from serving you and serving my purpose that you have created me for. Lord, I ask that you cause us to set our priorities to be ones that honor you first, foremost, and above all else. Above everyone and everything in my life, Lord, we ask for a determination to come over us. Lord, may we be resolute in this hour and stand strong until that day of your appearing. Amen. While Sean is playing whatever it is he's playing, you're free to go. But if you could spend some moments searching your heart and finding out those places where maybe I'm a little weak in this area and I need to stand firmer in this. The altars are open. Let's be about our Father's business.